This is a Pinball News production.
The LTG show is an interactive show. The more we interact, the more fun we're going to have. Do we have any LTG veterans here? Okay. Do we have any LTG people here for the first time? Ooh. What? We had a question. Wolfie, sit down and shut the fuck up. Say, I got to ask you, too. You know, if you go to Pinball News and listen to the seminar for last year, mine's the only one to conscious in adult language. So I really got to ask the crowd to watch fucking language this year. Now, I was up here earlier when I first rolled in at like noon, and we numbered the bottoms of your chairs. Now, we got a lot of cool prizes and a lot of great things. So you might want to find out what number you have now for the drawings. The first number is 0325014. Gotcha. See, I do some of these things for you, and I do a lot of these things for me. May I have my happy little helpers, please? Oh.
Just for that, I'm going to take a beer and one for my friend.
Who's your friend? Okay, thank you. We got to watch for handoffs. We do have minors in here today. I need my happy helpers. See that everybody gets drawing raffle tickets. I don't care. It's not rocket science. Just keep one of the two. We'll give some to Mark. We're giving some to Mark. I want to see you naked. Covered in jam. Do we have... I don't know what's in there. I don't know what got dragged here. Oh, Phoebe's here. Everybody say, hi, Phoebe. Hi, Phoebe. Yeah, we brought some, too. I don't know what ended up with it, but he says security packed it, so... So we all get arrested in unison. Now, this show is about having fun. There'll be questions, answers. I'm going to be telling jokes. Where's Rick Swanson? There's Rick. Of all things, I was talking to Rick over at the restaurant, and he's sitting down, and he's saying, you know, I tried a 10-year-old. I tried an 8-year-old. I tried a 6-year-old, and we're all going, my God, and he said, scotch. I didn't say this was good stuff. I just said it's free. They're scared. They're smart. They don't want to get hit with the flying watermelon bits. Well, that is the fun of it. But and for people that don't know me, my name is Lloyd. On Rec Games Pinball, I post as LTG. I have spent a lifetime in coin-op. It's like over 50 years in this worthless, godforsaken mess. My father owned, my father was an operator until the early 60s, bought an arcade on 8th and Hennepin, later moved to 6th and Hennepin. I ran a shooting range for Lieberman Music Company at the Minnesota State Fair. I worked for one of the largest ops in 1972. I've been involved with and our own part of SS Billiards for the last 38 plus years. So if you guys got like any like really cool questions, you want to know something about coin-op industry, what it's like, the history, the Bally live sex shows, any of the great things that have gone on through the years, you know, just ask. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, what? Absolutely. A smart person is going to walk in there and tell to the dime what I should be doing. And see, you know, laws in this country have changed in the last 100 years. Our law used to be based on English common law. You're innocent until proven guilty. The INS codes, IRS codes, DUI codes. Oh, you were guilty until proven innocent. You know, how much can you steal? You know, $3,000 a year? Is that worth jail sex for? You know, unless you can grab $100 billion or something and you'll be up on the politician level of shit, you're never going to be able to steal enough. It's worth your time. Any other great questions? Hey, anybody else want a beer? Beer. Come on up. Get your beer. Let's all do the beer run. Hey, throw one back there. See if you hit that guy in the center. Oh, my God. Oh, man, these guys brought bags for beer. Hey, it's like, you know, drink it, but don't fill up the bags, please. While we're passing out the numbers, let's have another good joke. Anybody ever admire the scuba divers? And you ever see them when they stand on the side of the boat and they fall over backwards? Does anybody know why they fall over backwards out of the boat? Well, if they fell forwards, they'd still be in a fucking boat. Shh, Jackson. Man, mom's going to ground your butt. It's all Dan Toff's fault. So if we got any other entertaining questions, people want to know great things that happen in the world of coin-op. Oh, please. No. No, but every one of it, I look at, it's a new guy, a new problem, and, you got to help, because you help one person, helps other people. We're never, ever going to measure 10 years, 20 years down the road if people access old posts and look for help, but even now. And you look at, one of the driving factors of the hobby in this, 1999, Williams closed. We didn't even know if we were going to have rubber rings or light bulbs, for Christ's sakes. There is more available in parts right now, and a great part of it's due to the hobby.
Yeah. Well, I fixed myself, so I'm glad you haven't given up on us. So.
You're a new guy? God, I wish I'd have given another answer now. No, it's not cold out. It's kind of warm up here. Uh-oh. Mr. Pasek has a question.
No, for you. Uh-oh.
Mr. Pasek has a question for me.
Hey, you can't have the microphone. It's my show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What's your question?
I want to please ask you to clean up after this.
Oh, yeah.
We
cleaned up real good last year. We'll do it again this year. So everybody remember, we got to clean up everything that isn't nailed down, grab chairs, tables, and make the place... Understand,
okay.
Mike works his butt off. This is the 26th anniversary of Expo. It's an amazing thing. Yay, Mike! And anything we can do to make his job better. No, when we're talking about the new people, too, I don't know if you've seen any of the other groups, like the Arcade Collecting Group. Did you ever post over there? I mean, those groups are pretty much dead. You couldn't ask a question, offer help, anything over there without getting slammed to hell and their hobby's dead. The new guys are an important part because they're guys that need help. Tomorrow they're going to be getting games. The next day they're going to be fixing stuff. The next step they're going to be helping other people. It's what's always made RGP great and why I've always felt honored to be part of it. Oh, I see another hand. Yes, sir. Hope it's a good one. What's your name, sir? Stand up. What's your name?
My name's
Don. Don? Doug?
Michigan.
You're from... Oh, sorry. What?
Been in the hobby for a while.
No. Where are you from?
Ann Arbor, Michigan.
No, I heard you. I said sorry.
How come you didn't buy the rights from Wayno?
With what money? And I wouldn't deal with what... If I had that kind of money, it'd be coming from Williams. Why be the in-between guy?
Well, I figured you're the perfect guy to buy it.
Why? I'm a jerk and an asshole, and I help people fix games. Why? That's got nothing to do with pinball manufacturing. Not even less to do with parts.
You're the guy that helps everybody all the time.
Well, I was bored. I didn't have anything to do. If I had business, I wouldn't even be on the group. No, but honestly, if I was going to make a run on something like that, like win the lottery and go after a pinball manufacturer or something, you go to where the license comes from, not who's holding it. And I've never seen the paperwork between Gene or Wayne or anybody else. I don't know what they own. I don't know if it's worth owning. And so much of that's going to be falling into public domain in the very near future that... do I give Williams, $600,000 or do I hire an attorney for $100,000 to take it? But that's just me. Where's our happy helpers? Oh, we got to say hi to Mark and Marlo. Hi, Mark and Marlo. These are our helpers. There is no pinching, fondling, or caressing of the happy helpers. You want that rule amended? Okay, you are allowed to pinch, fold, manhandle, whatever, caress the... helpers, but only if they do it to you first. Yes, sir. What's your question?
Who are you?
Well, that's the most intelligent question we've had all night. I'm Lloyd Olson. See this? I got this from Rob Anthony. Isn't this cool? That's because when I checked in today, I found out for a change, I did have a room this year. I just didn't have a seminar. Well, questions have slowed down. Let's have a door prize. Hey, we got the buckets? Can we have the buckets, please? Ooh. Hey, we need somebody to help draw. Hey, Jackson. Jackson, come on up. Here, Jackson. Everybody say hi, Jackson. Hi, Jackson. Jackson's like really cool, new to the hobby, and he sold his creature for the Black Lagoon today. Hey, wait, don't you want to know what we're drawing for first? Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, who's the winning ticket? On say, you got to be here, too. We're not playing this get it from Rob later crap again like last year.
Exactly.
The lucky... Oh, wait. We need a prize. Uh-oh. You didn't put wait, Phoebe in there?
No, three just came in.
Which three? Hey, there's Kevin. There's Joe. Everybody say hi, Joe. Hi, Joe. Joe Esposito is the person that the Joe Esposito events are named after. Joe, you want to stand up a second? No, we got you drew it. You can't throw him back in. Somebody won. We'll just give him a shitty prize. Hi, Joe. Okay, it looks like this was for the No Good Gophers poster. And I forget the gentleman that donated it already, but I really appreciate the prize. Number 0325106. We lost one already. If you're better looking, he could get laid. I mean, Jesus. Yay! Yeah, better check the ticket. That looks fishy. Everybody a toast. May you be in heaven a half hour before the devil finds out you're dead. Bread, egg, cinnamon, French. To all the lesbians and virgins, thanks for nothing.
Fun.
Pinball? Capcom Kingpin, without a doubt.
What's your all-time favorite game, non-pinball?
Sex. Did you ever have really bad sex? It's pretty good, wasn't it? That's pretty basic. No, but, you know, most people have never played a Kingpin fully working. Generally, all your ramp optos are out and the crap and back does work, everything else. But you got to go through, defeat all the crime bosses, and you defeat the Kingpin, and then you see him in the DMDs and the bomb to the Lake Michigan, and he's got the concrete overshoes of fish going back and forth. And Capcom pins are amazing. You know, they're all all feature lamps. You got no GI lighting to burn out. It's got one of the most spectacular light shows. You know, in a track mode, it sweeps back and forth. And the time game, it's all on white lights, and you get in the last seconds, and all the red lights go on. The flippers go slow. It's just a bizarre. I think Mark Ritchie, you know, knew that this might be his last game, and he really gave it his all. And Capcom's got some really cool crap going on, too. They had, like, the rogues of the industry. It didn't fit in other places. You know, if you short the lamp matrix or switch matrix to high power, you know, it says, you know, hey, fix this. It doesn't blow crap up. You know, we didn't see that again until Pinball 2000. Well, we better come up with some more questions. We're going to have to draw for some more crap. Oh, I see a hand. Please, stand up. What's your name?
Pinball Jeff.
Pinball Jeff. Everybody say hi, Jeff. Hi, Jeff! Pop machine. Well, I've got a dual automatic products. It's like the Cadillac of vending pop machine combo with all in one machine.
Oh, yeah. I figured this would be a new Stern, so then my next question was going to be which non-new Stern is Ernie
Dutchman? Non-use what?
Non-new Stern.
Non-new Stern. Oh, Medieval Madness, year in, year out. Attack from Mars has always been a close second, but it has had ups and downs. You know, as far as the newer Sterns, the newest one I got is Batman, and Batman is capable of hauling in money. I was scared when I had the update. Usually when I put in the update, I don't back up the old system. That one I did, because Batman is just a pile of fun, but the update didn't take away the fun factor, so I was real lucky on that one. Yes, sir. Oh, our Ann Arbor guy. Hello, Ann Arbor guy.
Let's go back in history. What's the, you know, obviously today's games are more dollars than they were before. What's the game that, like, earned the most cash, the most coins at the time?
Gauntlet. Gauntlet would pay for itself in 2 weeks or less. Gauntlet. Atari Gauntlet. I had two games, too. Asteroids and Afterburner probably took in 100 Gs. Afterburner would have been my all-time grossing if it had a bill validator capability. Sega and their infinite wisdom, you had 9 seconds as a dollar. I had a big sit-down when I had to disassemble it, take out windows, bring it in, reassemble it. And had you had a bill validator on it, you know, people find out you got 23 stages. You go back and land an aircraft carrier. That thing would have hauled in, you know, easily 10 times what it did. But you had to put in a, you know, 4 quarters, and you had 9 seconds. If you put in a quarter, it didn't rekey the time. It just kept running. So you had to have somebody outside dumping in money. And it was just, you know, when they finally, by the time they got the virtual racer, they had the bill tower where you could put in ones, two, fives, tens, twenties, and people would shove 20s in.
Well, what about pin games, like just straight pinball games? Back to like Flash or, you know, back in the 70s and 80s.
You know, you've never really had an outstanding pin until Funhouse. Funhouse, I knew when I had it, I wore out two playfields. This pin is like a once in a 20-year pin. And, you know, a couple years later, we had Adams Family. You know, we got blessed with another huge pin.
Any other questions?
Otherwise, we're going to... Oh, yes, ma'am.
Can I get a ticket?
Uh-oh. Oh, man, our happy helpers are screwing up again. Get Cheryl a ticket. You're Cheryl, aren't you? Yeah, yeah. Everybody say hi, Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. Hey, there's another guy. Does he need a ticket?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure glad we didn't have more drawings yet. Number 0325015. Well, that's okay. It doesn't mean anything. They're just laying up here. Everybody got a ticket? Let's check. Everybody got a ticket? Got another one? Anybody want two?
We got a whole roll left.
Yeah, we got a. As long, hey, this is like checks. We got tickets left. We got to have money. Oh, he wants a beer. I think he wanted a ticket. Hey, there's people ogling your butt back there. Hurry up. It is a cute one. Oh, you know what time it is? It's Waitwood of Michigan pinball ones. We got to give these guys some good advertising. Hey, find a spooky pinball one. See, a lot of these prizes are donated. Some I bought. Some I got given. No, Spooky. It'll be in a plastic bag. And Spooky, in their infinite wisdom, decided to sell me one a full boat. So here's our Spooky, but I ripped off a couple of their little stickers over at Pinball Life. So we got a Spooky T-shirt and stickers. Ooh! Wait, wait, wait. Slow down. We got to have a drawing. What Jackson left? Everybody say hi, Jackson. Hi, Jackson. This is for the spooky T-shirt. Woo! Oh. 0, 3, 2, 5, 64. Well, it's his idea. 64. And let's do a Michigan Pinball Expo. Michigan Pinball Expo was John Cosmo's show. He started this year and continuing next year. People at went said it was huge. One of the things I really thought was cool, if you had games there, they had people there would fix games and provide parts and everything and not charge you. That was like really cool. No, but I mean every time you've been at a show and a flipper's wick or this breaks and a guy's up in his room sleeping or whatever the heck happens, that was a cool feature. So let's do the extra large Michigan Pinball Expo shirt. Uh-oh. 94. 94. Yay, Ruth Ann. Everybody say hi, Ruth Ann. She's like really cool, but her husband broke my scissors. Oh, he probably broke everything. You know those Rochester people are. Hey, let's do the pinball collector's price guide. Many years ago, isn't this cool? What's your number? Oh, okay. Many years ago, Larry Beza had a price guide, and it came out, it'd be like first edition, second edition. Well, back about 2.5 years or so ago, Eric from RGP took it over, spent 2 years researching auctions, prices, all kinds of things, and Eric donated us a pinball price guide, and he also wanted me to say good words about Martin Iab and Brian Sanders, and I forgot to ask him why, but anyway, good words for Martin Iab and Brian Sanders. This is for Eric's pinball price guide, number 92. I blame the guy drawing. Number, everybody say goodbye, Wolfie. Bye, Wolfie. Understand. Oh, there's 92. Absolutely no other. Hey, we lost somebody. Chris Frame. Damn. I hadn't given him a ration of shit yet either. Oh, well. Any other great questions of how to fix pins or... Yes, sir.
Do you ever...
It's time. Well, there's been some classics. You know, down at my dad's arcade, and bear in mind, my dad was probably one of the biggest son bitches ever lived. Anything happened, it'd be my fault. Well, one day I'm taking a control panel off a Chicago Coin Speedway big driving game. It's like 3/4-inch plywood, big steering wheel. I got it all unscrewed. I'm lifting it up. My dad's standing there useless as shit. Two guys go by. One grabs a handful of dimes out of the cash box, takes off. I know right away, this is going to be my fault. I run the guy down, and now this was his arcade. It was on 6th of Hennepin. It was an old nightclub from the 30s and 40s. Had terrazzo floors. And I knocked this guy down. I'm just drilling the hell out of this guy with his control panel. I mean, I fucked him up pretty good. I mean, he's laying there. He's got blood coming out of his ears and mouth and stuff. And I'll never forget the yelling. His friend is just screaming that, you can't do this. And I'm thinking, well, it appears I am. My dad's screaming, you know, you're going to kill him. Well, this is what I'm trying to do. And then his friend, being a true friend, took off on a dead run after this is going on. Well, then my dad's all pissy, you know, what are we going to do with him? And I said, well, hell, we're upstairs at Moby Dick's, and it was hilarious. Whenever the bouncers would beat somebody up, they'd throw them out the back door, and it'd be one squad called to go get them. I said, well, hell, we'll drag them down to Moby Dick's. So I took them by one pant leg, dragged them the length of the arcade, down two flights of stairs, up the alley, and dumped them behind Moby Dick's. You mean things like that? Or do you mean where I would go up and, please, sir, don't do that? Which version did you want? No, it depends on what. I mean, if somebody goes, you know, like grabs a bunch of tokens from somewhere and thinks they're going to use them in my place, called theft of services, you know, I'll politely ask them to leave.
Does anyone like open your point
door? You think maybe don't have to fucking try that?
He doesn't spend all the time on the computer. He does watch something once in a while.
No, like down my dad's arcade, yeah, we had break-ins and stuff. I mean, it's just part of the business, but I've been pretty much led a blessed life, but then, you know, do you really want me on your life for, how much are you going to get? $5, $10, $20? Do you want me on your ass for the rest of your life for that? Believe me, it just ain't worth it. You know, we got burglarized in 1979, and, 79, 89, 99. That's probably about 12 years went by. A guy came in, he was talking one day, he moved down to Florida. Well, him and another guy were breaking into places in town, and they broke into an arcade up on Main Street. And he told me about it, and he said they got a bag of $400 worth of quarters in it. And I thought, well, that arcade's on tokens. When we got burglarized, I lost a $400 bag of quarters. And you know, he gave me $400 before he left. I mean, it's just amazing. I mean, you know, it's all in how you explain it to people. You know, geez, you know, it's really a terrible thing you did, and I, you know, really appreciate if you'd give me $400. And I'm still waiting for his partner to come in. He's just completely disappeared off the searches, but I'm getting my other $400 out of the other guy, too. Oh, my pleasure. Well, actually, we got people donated beer, too. Marlo donated beer. I brought in beer. Phoebe donated beer. Andrew brought in beer. There might have been a few others, but... And, of course, we got to thank our hosts, Mike Pasek and Rob Burke, for having the infinite wisdom to having this again. Hi, Mom. That's Jackson's mom. She's really cool. I had my pinball circus this past weekend, and Jackson brought in his creature that he sold here that he had that for there. And Mom helped haul it. She's an amazing lady. Okay, let's have another thingy. We got an SS Billiards 35th anniversary large T-shirt. Ooh. 119. Well, what's your number? Don't draw 16. What? 119. 119 has left the building. Jeez, I know I'm an asshole and everybody hates me, but at least stick around and win some shit. Jesus. Well, one got to hear while the going was good. What are you doing? I'm sorry?
Do you own anything?
An original. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the rest.
Did you buy one of the remakes?
Nope, no money. No, and I own part of a Kingpin at 1.2. Yeah, back in 1999, there was a Big Bang Bar in Mr. Pinball Classifieds, and Dave Rose had listed it. If you watch Capcom credits go by, you know, you see Dave Rose goes by. Well, he was then working for Lodan Electronics, which was the old Capcom building. And Big Bang Bar and a Kingpin had gotten abandoned there. The Kingpin they sold the year before, and then Dave Rose had put the Big Bang Bar up. And I called him up, and I said, hey, I want to buy your Big Bang Bar. And he's kind of, great. I said, well, there's one problem. And he said, what? I said, well, I don't have any money. He's kind of, what? And see, now I've been in a lot of hobbies, a lot of different industries, a lot of things. You know, a lot of times money isn't any good. You take a rich guy, and you got to find what he wants. He don't want money. He wants something. I told him, I said, well, maybe you want something. You know, you want a couple of hookers? You want some blow? I mean, you want somebody whacked? I mean, what do you need? Well, unfortunately, he's selling it for his boss, Dan Lodan, so Dan was, like, into the money end of things. Well, I had sold some rare German soldier toys and raised a bunch of money, and I had bought my wife a tennis bracelet she wanted for Christmas, and then she didn't want, and I never told her that, well, thanks to the bracelet going back, I can buy this. So January 3rd, 2000, right after the Y2K stuff, Marlo drove me to Chicago and picked her up. And, of course, they had tried to email me, let me know to bring cash and everything else. And, of course, I was already down there, and it only brought like $6,900. I bought it for $8,000. So we had to wait until they could turn their computers on and check with a bank and everything else. But, yep, dragged her home, disassembled it, sat in my dining room for a year and a half, and then finally put her all back together and brought it out to work and used it for the events and parties. And it's cool.
What's your favorite?
Nope, I was like Kingpin better. I did own part of a Kingpin, but no more. But Big Bang Bar is real cool, too. I said Marlo. I said, Marlo drove me down there. He's almost like a human being for 20 hours. Marlo drove me down there, drove me back, and helped me haul it in my house. And he was almost cool. Hey, let's do this thing.
Rob's hat?
Rob's hat. Cool. Rob has got these special when lit hats made. They're like really super cool, and he's gone downstairs in his fix-it shop. So be sure and stop down and say, thanks, Rob, and buy some stuff and have him fix crap. And, oh, Rob breaks stuff, too. Dan is not the only one to break stuff. Rob breaks stuff, too. Top glass on my display case.
Oh, that's right.
I knew Dan would get that one right. 65. Yay! Hand in the back. I can't believe there isn't more questions about the industry or anything. Oh, there's a question. Yes, sir. Yeah, you came to the right place, buddy.
Did you ever have a game, X-City game, Death Race 2000?
No. At that time, that was like the transition period. My mother bought SS Billiards in 1972 at my help. I put up the down payment and worked there and everything else. And in 1979, she retired and sold me her interest in it. And at that time, she had an operator in her. She couldn't buy games. And it was Advance Carter. And Advance Carter never bought any of the death races. I mean, there was a lot of places that had them and did great. And there was a lot of places that kind of just stayed away from them. They didn't want video games going that way. And, you know, and I can see why. That was like about the same era when a home game called Custer's Revenge came out. You know, you had to shoot Indians, run across the fence, rape Indians, everything. The coin-op industry got blamed for that, and it wasn't a coin-op game. So it was really a direction they didn't want the industry going. Though in retrospect, when Williams was busy closing down the pinball division and everything else, I had the head of the Midway come out to my place because I'd been a test operator for Lieberman Music Company for 19 years. And he was asking thoughts, opinions, stuff. I said, well, he started the digitalized graphics of Cruisin' World. I said, I know you guys were working in the early 80s. They had this deal where they'd the video cameras were getting so cheap. They would put a camera on a game. You put money in it, and they'd scan you and use you in the game somewhere. Journey was the start of that where you had the little black and white guys moving around. I told him, with today's cameras and graphics, why don't you make a two-player death races? And then you could do it either humorous or bloody. You know, me trying to run down little yous, you trying to run down little me. And the blood on is important. Like Mortal Kombat 2, blood on was a $200 a day difference. Do we have another question? I saw another hand. Three hands. Oh, my God. It's anarchy. I don't know which one first. How about the... You, sir. I'll get to you in a second, please. You, sir. I said it was a toss-up between Asteroids and Afterburners. Both of them took in about $100,000. Asteroids, because probably just the sheer length of time I had it about 11 years. You know, summer it never did anything. Fall and winter when the pool players come in. A lot of people want to play games, and they'll drop a quarter in something they know, but they don't want to put a quarter or half a buck into something, and 3 seconds they're dead, and they don't know why. Just 1 second. We got this other guy over here. Yes, sir.
What are you pricing your Sterns
at? New Sterns coming in $1. The older Sterns that were there, 75 cents. See, one of the problems, I always thought that the zenith of pinball, Adams to Medieval Madness, it's also the same time when a player base got decimated. And I kind of wonder, this is bizarre. Some of the best games ever made was the same time the industry went to hell. And my web host, wherever the hell he went, Greg Chemnitz, when I was raising prices, had done some digging around the internet and the cost of living index. First 50-cent pin was Black Knight in 1981. He told me, you realize your play would have had to gone to 75 cents in 1991 to have the same buying power? I was wrong. The player base didn't get decimated. The money we were spending was worth half as much. I mean, that was a freaking eye opener. And I knew at the time I was taking in money, but I was losing ground. I couldn't understand it, put it together. But the player base is already there. But any industry where you whack the money value in half, well, all of a sudden, you know, you got ops buying less games, distributors ordering less games, manufacturers ordering less games. You know, by 95, 96, the writing was on the wall, would never come out of it. And like I said, I always thought the players were gone. They weren't. They were there. The money were spending as half as much. You know, remember here a couple of summers ago where $4 a gallon for gas? Everybody was ballistic. It's where it should have been. Our dollar was worth that little. Nobody said nothing about $5 a gallon milk. Yep. Yes, sir.
Think that maybe two quick questions. One, you didn't have a Dragon Slayer?
Yep. Oh, man, I just wanted to fucking kill Cinematronics. Well, the video fad flopped. We got the laser games. They cost twice as much. And to me, it kicked the video fad off the cliff quicker. And they knew the disc players were not built for commercial use. You know, mine made it for 6 days before it burned up. I ended up with about 6 fans in that game. Every laser game I had, I ended up putting in more and more and more fans. And the tail end of them, too, you know, you're putting about $2,000 a year into keeping them decks going. And the last time I had my Mach 3 deck in, they used to give a 90-day warranty, and they'd about last a year. Well, last time I took it in, 33 days went down, took it in. Oh, we only give a 30-day warranty now. You don't tell people? But, I mean, to me, the Laserdisc games, you know, the first one was a horse racing game. The first coin-op for everybody was Dragon's Lair. And I knew right away that, you know, you're not playing this game. You're just making yes-no decisions. You know, people fall for this once, they ain't going to fall for it again. I had Cliffhanger next, and I had it out of there in 2 days. You know, nobody cared. Pin 2000 was exciting. You know, that had some built-in problems. That division was doomed before that thing hit the drawing board. Didn't matter what it did, it was going bye-bye. Had it continued, there was a point where Midway thought they'd maybe in 2-3 years build a couple a year. But even if it had continued, they were only going to build 2 a year. You'd have never had the evolution. You'd never had the growth. You know, it had internet capability, Ethernet capability. You weren't tied to one playfield level, but we would have never seen what it could have been even if it continued. The thing I enjoyed about it, the pinball players weren't too hot about it. The thing I enjoyed about it was it brought me non-pinball money. There's a new level of excitement, new money. The downside was, is because I remember when we went from EMs to solid state, well, I'm trading games for $600. I had sent a brand new safecracker in full of tokens for $600 trading it. You know, it screwed us right up the wazoo because all of a sudden I'm down to 6 pins and they closed the pinball division. I mean, I wish I'd have kept everything I got rid of. And this was one of my gripes I had with my distributor rep at that time was with Lieberman's, now he's with Moss. Some time ago, he was whining about the industry. I said, you guys done it to us. The video fad flopped in California and spread east like wildfire, and you never said a fucking word. If you'd have told everybody to cut back 25%, I said at least 3/4 of the operators would live through it. But you milked us to the end. The same thing, when a $27,000 game come in, you knew where I was. When there's something I can make money on, you never call me. And you guys knew that division was going to be closed. See, if you go to an industry show, you know, some of them are open to the public. You know, the public can go here. Operators can go here. Bigger operators can go here. Bigger operators can go there. Distributors go here. Big distributors go here. Well, the top 5-6 distributors in the world see stuff nobody sees. They fucking knew that division was going to be closed, and they didn't say a goddamn word. And meanwhile, I'm trading games for dog shit. And I told Sandy, fuck, you guys done it to us. You know, I'm not taking a fall on this one alone as the whole industry fell in on itself. You know, everybody wants to point the finger. We're all guilty. You know, we had it all and threw it all away. I'm sad. Let's have another drawing. Let's give another Michigan Pinball Expo deal because I know Mike Pasek's going to love me doing a Michigan Pinball Expo stuff. Uh-oh, there's somebody. He's fast approaching. Did you win? Okay, number 99. Yay! Jesus. Woohoo! Any other great questions? Oh, Dan, would you please stand up? Where are you from, Dan?
Rochester, Minnesota.
Sorry?
Move to his place. 3 times a month. What machine have you had in your shop that you have the biggest expectation for?
Pretty much anything Sega. Sub-Rock 3D was a huge one. Sega had the penchant for opening up new doors, new technologies, new ideas, and then never followed through on it. They were designing, when I put in the second phone line, they were designing Alien Front Online, and that was a game that where you could have up to 8 people. You know, they could be in an arcade, they could be at home playing on a home system, but you could have up to 8 people in a game, irregardless of where they were. I put in a second line, ordered games, everything, I'm all set, and they never built them. You know, it's like the hologram game. You know, they made the 2 games, and they were going to be making more games, making more games, making more games. Never did. Yeah. I mean, it's super, and then they finally made the 2-player game and stuff. But and then the first thing, I opened this bastard up. Oh, good, we got another Laserdisc player. Oh, this is just fucking exciting. It's like one of those little things like Sega when they had the color XY monitor, like Space Fury and stuff. Eliminator was the first one. Burned up a lot of shit. It's like $50 a month worth of crap burning up. We got the Star Trek game. First thing I asked before I tested one, did they change the monitor? Yes, they changed the monitor. I put it in. I had it. A month later, the monitor went dark. Open it up. Same fucking monitor! Sure glad I asked if they changed that. Yeah, I had the head of Sega at my place quite a few times, and I was, man, I just reamed that clone. Like one time when they had the, Jurassic Park come out, the sit-down Jurassic Park, and then they were starting to openly sell Sega pins all over to hell and back. And they wanted me to order a Jurassic Park. And I was on them. I said that, they had just come out with and also they're peddling House of the Dead, too. $14,000. We got a virtual fighter board in here, 2 off-the-shelf hap guns, a generic cabinet. I said, I paid an extra $10,000 on a virtual racer for the Sonic the Hedgehog sticker on it. I said, you know, the days of selling the $14,000, $2,000 games is over. I said, look at my police trainer. A $1,300 kit for 8 years was in my top 5 games. Well, we made a kit. I said, you'll make me kits. You'll make me something. And I said, it'll only help you. If you make me cheap stuff and I make a lot of money, I can buy your high price crap. Well, we made a soccer kit and nobody bought it. Oh, let's see, soccer. That's like real big in the United States in video games. And you made a $5,000 kit. You know, Tekken's were $2,500. Police Trainer was $1,300. Yeah, $5,000 kits are going to fly. And the only reason you assholes made it is because, well, we made a kit. Nobody bought it. Hey, the guy is just the biggest jerk I ever saw. And then I went and ordered a Jurassic Park anyway, and Sega was already in the operating end of things. This was like in August, September. Supposed to come in for September. Supposed to come in October before MEA weekend when the kids have off from work, and I got like 3 Fridays in a row. And it's going to be here for Thanksgiving. It's going to be here for Christmas. It's going to be here in January. It's going to be in February. Finally, they had a shipping notice. Sandy told me, my distributor rep, that, hey, you know, your game's going to be here at the end of March. I said, cancel it. I said, what do you mean? So I needed it 6 months ago. I'm coming in the summer. I don't need an expensive 6-month-old piece. I said, I bet if I go to the Luxor, I bet there's 8 of them there. You know, Sega always covered their own butt first. Then when Lieberman, they had their spring show, and they were showing the Jurassic Park. I'm in there playing. I mean, it's a cool game. You shoot the dinosaur stuff. Well, this guy from Sega, he sits down. He starts explaining what to do, and I'm standing there. Tyrannosaurus comes, grabs his guy, hauls him off, and eats him. He's shoot, and I'm pointing a gun at him and shooting. It don't work. Well, no, you're supposed to shoot. I don't like you. I hope the Tyrannosaurus eats you. Man. And see, Sega, too, I mean, you know, and I told a guy, too, I said, you cannot stand there and tell me Sega can't do this shit. After World War II, Mark Blumenfeld or whatever the heck, he was taking the Seabrook Hunt games to Japan, open them up, put 6 in a row because we disarmed them. They weren't allowed to own guns or anything, charging people yen to shoot, and he made a fortune. That's how Sega started. I said, you guys have been at this longer than anybody else. You cannot sit there and tell me you're incapable of doing it. But what do I know? Let's have another drive. Oh, wait, any other questions? Uh-oh, more hands. Hey, this is great. Just a second. Let's do the lady first. Cheryl.
I'm just curious, Lloyd. You know.
I was curious, too. I got over that by about elementary school.
No,
honest.
Demise. So, you know what year was your top earning year?
Probably 1981. I bought 42 new games that year. 82, I was wondering what the hell I was going to do. See, that's what, you know, why the video fad flopped, and now the industry used to be a 7-year cycle. I didn't know I was going to be going through this crap every 20 years. But if I was going to pick probably the outstanding year, it would probably be 81. We had another hand back here. Yes, sir. What's your name?
Doug.
Where are you from, Doug?
Near Cincinnati.
Sorry?
Near Cincinnati.
Oh, I heard you. I said I was sorry. Yes, sir.
You've been talking about unreliable video games. What's been the most
I've been fortunate. I don't think I've really had one. I mean, when they don't behave, they're the next thing to get traded in. But, there's like good and bad and everything. I mean, there's lemons, but, I've probably led a charmed life on them that I've not had one that I had one try to kill me. Judge Dredd.
I heard rumors of Twilight Zone keeps breaking down for some odd reason.
No. Hey, you're the little asshole. You came to one of my parties. You go and post on Rec Games Pinball that my Adams flipper wasn't lined up. I go look at them. They're lined up. Well, this didn't change overnight. I go post, well, did you think of saying something while you're there? No, then you disappear for 3 months. So you sit there, you shut the fuck up, and I don't want to hear anything out of you. I'm sorry, what? Mike will come to your house and personally blow you. Yeah, let's get rid of this last Michigan Pinball Expo shirt before Mike gets wind of this shit. Number 101. Martin! This is going to be reported on Pinball News, and I don't have to worry about coming back next year, and this is, like, really fun. Anyway, I was telling you about Judge Dredd tried to kill me. I swore to God I never have one in my place again, and, of course, there are several been pulled in for parties. I'm bringing a Judge Dredd off of my truck. And I dropped the game. And now when you bear it, when you think about this later, when you analyze, when something goes wrong, you like to reflect and think that how could I have improved this or done anything? Okay, the game's insured, the truck's insured, the business insured. The only thing standing there without any insurance was the guy that caught the game and about ripped my left arm off. There's like a year I could barely lift my arm up. I couldn't even lift anything with it. So I've never been a big Judge Dredd fan, though I did like the game. I did like start having choices like Who Done It, where you could have time gamer, guaranteed 2 minutes of play or regular pin. Judge Dredd, where you could put in extra credits and get the super game, was like, I liked having more choices out of the same area, especially because my place is small and limited equipment. Well, it's like my pop machine, candy machine combination. The more I can get out of one spot, it's better. What the hell are you laughing about? I love that. Oh, he wants a door prize. Hey, let's do this. I got like this rare, inspected by F. Santiago, Pin Footies Enterprises shirt. And I believe Rob Anthony in his room does have Pin Footies for sale. But this was like the shirt that Brian Kelly had made years ago. It's like really cool. Uh-oh, we already got a winner? And the lucky number is 53. Yay! Uh-oh. Bye, Mike! Can I come back next year? Yay! Uh-oh, so far. Okay, we'll behave. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us. Thanks, Rob. Okay, now let the party begin. Any other great questions? Uh-oh. Wait, I'm sorry, who was first? Well, let's do the little guy. I'm not talking about height either. I mean, anybody that's ever seen the pictures, there's a reason why we say little guy. Hello. Your mother called. She wants to do it with me again. What? Sega's Hot Rod. I had the four-player. You stood around and had the overhead sign, and they held the game up for a couple days because they thought the gas pedals were broke because the game does not go fast. I mean, the car is just kind of like, but the thing is you have to really get into that game. You have to select, and it's the first one, too. It had floppies, and it was really cool. But you had to get the right engine, the right tires, the right this, the right that, and everything to proceed on to do better on the next race and the next race. And, this was such a boring piece of dung that you thought, nobody's ever going to play this goddamn thing. I must have had it 7 or 8 years. People were willing to get into it and learn it and play it. It's probably one of the more amazing pieces. That's why, and Sega drops the ball on so many things that, when they do get something right, they just never follow up on it. But they have had some outstanding ideas. I saw another hand. Yes, sir. Oh, our Ann Arbor guy. Hi, Ann Arbor guy.
Do you have any games in your home that you...
Not right now.
If you had to have a game, somebody put a gun to your head and said, put a game in your home.
I've had guns pointed at me. That you're going to need more than that, I guarantee you that one. No, I did one of my all-time favorite games, because I pretty much really suck at playing most games, And one game that I really was good at and I really loved was Wizard of War. And when it finally died off in my arcade, I hauled it home. And then it sat for like the next 10 years, never did have people over, never played it, so it finally hit eBay. I had like the first jukebox. I had a jukebox that came off my dad's route in Old Seaburg, too. And eventually get to the point that, why am I hanging on to this shit? You know, this is my industry. It's not my hobby. And like down the road, when me and the dog win the lottery, get our timber frame house overlooking Lake Superior and da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I ain't going to be in games. Though I have thought that, you know, because I haven't had a decent vacation since 97. What the hell? And but I had thought, you know, after the first month settle in and rest up, you know, I wanted to do something big then. Like have a place somewhere, you know, like 50 games and have a nice tournament every year or something. Have all my expo friends come back and we'll get drunk and chase waitresses and have fun. Okay. Yes, sir.
To the best of your recollection.
that leaves a lot to speculation. Oh, this is good. I got to hear this one.
Pinball. During what years, or what, let's say, what year would you say that, relative to the cost of the machine, your return on investment, what year of new pinball machines would you say would have been the best?
Probably early 80s, 82, 83. I mean, we're talking like, you know, $21, $2,200 games, and they were capable of hauling in money and bringing new business. So this is the one thing that would be exciting with Stern right now. I mean, you know, at least from the coin-op end of things, you cannot be putting a $4,500 game out on a street and then 3 weeks nobody's playing it. You know, you either got to get income up or cost down, and right now income ain't going up. You know, if nothing else, the economy is going to be the detriment of that. You know, I don't care if you got offshore to India, China, what you got to do. You know, if you could get them things down at like $2,500, they'd be gold. Because there's not, you know, the coin-op industry is the lowest point it's ever been, and there's not a lot out there. You got darts. You got e-tunes, touchscreens are dead, IT's going all gambling, you got pool tables. You know, there ain't an awful lot to stick in a bar and make money right now. And if you, you know, at least get something from brand new for $2,500 that we could stick out there, you know, them things would be gold. Yes, sir?
Coin-op is just that, it's coin-op. Now with inflation, that order, bill readers, whatever, it's just not the same mentality trying to put money into the machine with its bills.
People don't care when they're having fun. It's one thing I've learned through all the years, you know, if they're putting in a quarter, they got to have 50 cents worth of fun. If they're putting in a buck, they got to have $2 worth of fun. The, you know, if the fun level is there, the how much to get there doesn't. And you go into a movie theater and now you're like $6-$7 for a bucket of popcorn.
Just think of the psychology, though, that putting it in your wallet is a bill, but when you put change in your pocket, it's free money.
Mm-hmm. But see, I'm just not seeing that at the cash box. You know, and something is that much fun, you know, all thought to worth goes out. I mean, I see what you're saying. You would think that the psychological thing of things, but you know, if the fun level's there, they seem to forget what the value is of, you know, they're putting in.
You don't think it would help to have a dollar coin that was widely used that people would just drop in a dollar coin?
The thing is, it's so sporadic. You know, how are you going to get them out there? I mean, they end up, you know, no matter if the post office gives them out, the Walmart gives them out, you know, they go home and sit in jars. See, what I always thought the ultimate was if I get my hand on a bunch of Safecracker doors and, you know, the magic token, there's my dollar coin, there's my quarter, there's my bill validator. And see, that's one thing I learned from vending. You go up to a vending row of vending machines, I mean, you can throw in busted money, bent money, dirty money, foreign money. You're getting some product. You're getting something. In, you know, video games and pinball, it's always been damned impossible to stick money into the fucking things. You know, if you can, no matter what, you know, if somebody, if there's something they had in their pocket was going to go in there, you're going to get it. Now, my dad down there, like an eighth and had it been back in the 60s, he had penny things, nickel things, dime things, well, with insurance and licenses, everything else, he couldn't do it anymore. But if somebody had change in their pocket, he was getting it. And I know, like, there was a big operator, Jim Stansfield, had 16 Adams pins out, 8 with validators, 8 with out, and the 8 with, what did they take in, like, 60% more money or something. That's just because the average person, you know, it's easier to dump in paper money, especially if you're dumping in a lot, like in a golden tee or something. You!
In one of your early photos, you show a Pong game.
1973, spring of 73.
Did you have any of the electromechanical games, not pinball, but, you know?
Of course. Well, when I was, especially like when I was the lead tech in my dad's arcade for 2 years when I moved upstairs on 6th Hennepin. He had 15 or 20 pins in a segregated area because they had to be 18 to play pinball. He had 8 pool tables, you know, a camera machine, a couple of pop machines, assorted candy and gum machines, and about 100 other games. you know, and that was a combination of basketball games and shooting games. And, you know, you had some pinball-style play games that weren't considered pinball, like the ones that where you turn and launch, or the Derby Days and Hay Burners and stuff weren't considered pinball. And, yeah, there was a time I was pretty sharp on EMs, and now I haven't touched one for 30 years. Any other question? Oh, there's another hand. Cheryl!
Speaking of EMs, do you happen to remember the lineup when your place first opened?
2001, Superstar. They only had five or six pins. Four square. That's the only ones I remember.
But that's how you had when you opened?
Well, we didn't open. See, SS Billiards, a guy by the name of Sam Snelling, opened it in November 1970. That was when the shopping center was completed. Average life of a game room is a year and a half. And he found that out, and he was going to sell it or close at the end of his two-year lease in November of 72. Well, my mother bought it with my help September 72. But there was an operator, Advance Carter, had games in there. But and there was a lot of changes. I mean, I went out and shot pool a couple of times before my mom played it. And the first day we opened up, there was a lot of changes. Like, there was two guys, they'd come in and they'd bang on the door in 2001 and they'd get free games. Well, they come in and they banged on the door, banged on the door, banged on the door. And then when I was on their way out, I told them, man, no more free shit. Yeah, we had, and of course, then, you know, you could afford to do stuff more. It was like $175 a month rent. But, you know, we got rid of the problems the first day. Because either you run your business or the people do, and you lose all control then. Like downtown, when my dad's arcade was upstairs, there was a clothing shop downstairs. And, you know, the ghetto brats would go in and just take clothes off the rack and leave, and they were terrified to do anything. Well, geez, either you run your business or the people do. Which do you want? Any other great questions? Oh, there's another hand. Yes, sir.
An RPG. Somebody once asked me about those little penny crusher machines. You know the ones you put in a penny?
You know what an RPG is?
RGP.
There we go.
Yeah, that other thing.
Well, I'm on a social whatever World War II news group, too, so I wanted to be sure which group we're talking about here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a pinball group. Ask me about the little penny crusher machines. And you came back and you said they don't really crush pennies.
They don't. You buy them, they used to, I don't know if they still make them or not, they'd come in a long thing and they'd have like a wire the whole way through and you'd throw them in there and you see the thing go around and you see them, you know, the souvenir comes out. And
I read that and it was like,
Santa Claus doesn't live.
Exactly like that. There was nothing else in my life that was comparable other than hearing, there is no Easter Bunny, there is no Santa Claus, you're a fool. And every time I see one of those, I'm like thinking, is there any other wonderful wisdom that has been really disappointing on that level?
Time for another door prize, man. No, but I've got a nasty kind of semi-honest streak, and, you know, I don't want to lie to people. I mean, you know, a lot of times the entertainment is in the effect. You know, you put your dime, you put your nickel, you watch it go in, you watch the wheels go around, you watch all the crap. That's the fun. I mean, if you saw a magician how he did an act, the magic would be gone. But, you know, the getting there is half the fun.
Well, you know, the
Mold-O-Matics, you know, that make the stinky plastic animals and stuff, those are real. No, they still sell them at like $12,000, and then it's like $25 extra to have your own molds. I always thought it'd be cool to have a goose mold. It's a little thing, got to win the lottery first. But any of your other dreams I can crush? I mean, oranges when they ship are usually green. You know, it's when they squirt that gas in there to, you know, ship them. That's what turns them orange. I used to know tons of this useless crap. Oh, there's a hand way back there. Phoebe, everybody say hi, Phoebe. Hi, Phoebe. Thanks for the beer.
You're killing me here. Can you tell me smash pennies aren't really smash pennies?
Sorry, Phoebe.
I mean, I picked out special pennies and put it in a little machine and I watched it go around and think there's nothing.
And those special pennies are in the coin box with the dime at the special place at the bottom.
See what I mean? All the good you've done on this earth with this hand.
Gone in a second.
Check the date on your penny next time. See what comes out.
What?
Check the date on your pen and see what comes out.
No. The one at
3 a.m. I'm going to cry.
I think I am. What the hell?
Was it real?
No, it's not. It's illegal to deface currency and return it circulation. So you can do anything you want, just don't try and spend it. See, like if you go down to the train and watch your fingers and put the penny on the track, you get the same penny back. It just doesn't have the Lord's Prayer on it. And your point is? I'm shattering hopes and dreams here. My God, man, don't try and bring reality to this. No, I think we passed stupid about an hour ago. Hey, let's do it. Let's do a drawing. You know, I wish I'd have wrote down some of these people's names, too. Somebody gave me the Mark Rosignoli book. This is like a really cool, big, heavy book. And it's full of dirty pictures. And Mark is from New Zealand or something and wrote some really great books. And then he was working on like another one, and then he just disappeared.
Yes, that may be 108.
Oh, that's not mine. Well, if you'd have picked a better ticket. Phoebe, yay! Hey, let's do our big box of pinball stuff, but you don't get the two-wheeler. Hey, God, where did that guy go? We got to give him the two-wheeler back, too. Pinball parts. Yeah, there's all kinds of pinball stuff in there. We now have the... Uh-oh, Martin's making a move for the beer. Hey, where are you two going? Hey, get back here. Oh, understand. Hey, thanks for coming.
All right, we got it.
Yeah, but we got to find who owns the two-wheeler and get that back. And they'll have to get it from the new owner, okay. Jackson, pull for the box of pinball parts. Yeah, well, I'm scared to open it because I don't know what's all in there. Yeah, we got to see if there's anything good in there. 21. Yay! Dale won the big box of pinball parts.
You're not serious, the whole box.
Yep, the whole box. Yeah, that was donated by... Huh?
Okay.
You donated? Yep. That guy, number 13.
Where's the broken scissors so we can open
it? Is that your two-wheeler?
Yeah.
Hey, there's a give him his two-wheeler right now so we don't raffle that off accidentally. Thank you. It was very generous, sir. Thank you. We got any more questions? Pinball stuff. Looks like he scrapped two machines.
You should build something with all that. Make a new game out of it.
Yeah, it's your backflip galactic poker dice.
The all round driver
shot. Oh, WWF. Checkpoint.
WWF.
Yeah.
Was the WWF? You got the big box of parts. Now you haul it into Rob's table and dump on the table and sell it. Rob will love us. Just be sure that nice gentleman gets his two-wheeler back, though, please. Okay, I got another one for you. You know those 1950s popcorn machines? You go in a gas station, you put in your nickel, whatever, you get the popcorn. You know how crafts would land in there for 3 weeks? Okay. Just trying to think of what other childhood dreams of yours I can shatter. So you got any more questions? Anything you've been... Yes, Dan.
Two-part. Pinball machine that you owned and operated and then resold in the shortest duration. And same thing, longest duration you operated and then resold.
Well, longest duration is still there, I mean. No, I'm thinking what?
Sold, not that you're still operating now.
Yeah, I don't recall any pinball that wasn't at least around for some duration. No, because, I mean, I've still got my Adams Gold, I've still got my Attack from Mars, still got my Medieval Madness, but I'm thinking that, I mean, there was, you know, like Egg Venture, the follow-up to Police Trainer. That was stupidest damn game to come down the pike, and after the, you know, Police Trainer, we thought, hey, this is great. And it was the most, it was like that lollipop song, you know, lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, lollipop. You know, the damn song never ends. Egg Venture never ends. Every time I go buy it, the game would still be running. People play it and just... I mean, that thing was, like, gone in days. I don't... Like I say, though, I don't recall any pinball that I was ever that pissed at that disappeared fast. Anyway, we got the Pinball Expo Silver Anniversary Pinball Circus Tournament shirt. Number 62. Yay! Hope this is an extra big. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Extra LTG. Oh, that's cruel. Yeah, but split with this guy then. Oh, maybe we need that two-wheeler back then. Wait. What else we got here? Hey, we need another piece. Let's do the Monopoly, but there's another piece in there. We got official Stern Monopoly plastics. Yep, from the Stern Monopoly pinball machine. See, they say Monopoly. Ooh. And that is number 28. 28? Are you 28? Get up here. Yep. Hey, what's your... Hey, come on up here a second. Wait, get back here, Marlo. Get back here. Oh. What's your name?
John. Yeah.
Thanks for coming, John. Congratulations. Hope you have fun. Hey, let's do this. This is, like, really cool. Whitewater Bigfoot, NOS Williams Head. If you ever seen one of these guys that are bald, this is, like, really cool. Reminds me of Duncan Brown. Ooh. Yeah, we'll be raffling off the Whoa Nelly pin next. Oh, Dennis asked me what goes on here. I said, well, we're going to be raffling off the Whoa Nelly pin. Yeah. Well, for building one of. See, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, hey, if Stern goes, you know, some other company will pick up custom pins and everything else. There you go, 20 grand. Number 80.
80.
Yay! You want a furry little guy. Hey, we got some, like, real cool things from Martin at Pinball News. We got these really beautiful UK pinball tournaments 2010, which Martin is, like, really big with in England. And Martin donated these today. We got three of them, so we need three tickets. Okay, we have number 103, 112, 115. Hey, come on. Get up here. This is some really cool shit. It's not like that crap we gave last year nobody wanted. He cleared customs and everything. They're legal. Mancow, would you deliver the pin? Hmm? His nickname. Ruth Ann, one time when we were doing a tournament at my place, Marlo had wrote his name so bad she thought it was Mancow. So Marlo has now legally changed his name to Mancow. You know, some of the crowd isn't real bright. We got to be caring and sympathetic. Got this really cool empty bag. Oh, hey, this is cool. Rob wanted me to showcase this. You know, Rob Anthony, that's got like the really cool high-tech room, and we don't know how it works. Woo! Cool. I can point at things.
Yeah, what a deal, huh?
Is that my name? On guard. Yeah, and we got like these really cool buttons we can push, too. But Rob's selling these things, and he wanted me to showcase them. Ooh, hey, that's cool. I could blind somebody. Whoa. God, I wish I had a cat or something on that back wall. Oh, man, that's neat. Hey, what's my number? I'm number 24. I won! Oh, crap. Hey, them things are expensive, too. Hey, you're not taking my toy. Hey, let me play with it till the end of the show. Oh, it's our guy from Ann Arbor. I have here a Star Wars Episode 1 spaceship. Ooh. I don't believe it. 20. Yay! Love the hat. Here's another one of these super rare items. Original Bally Kiss spinner stickers. It's got Gene Simmons' tongue. As the spinner turns around, it looks like he's sticking a tongue at you. 113.
113.
Nobody wants Gene Simmons' tongue? Well, besides you. I would never say anything derogatory about a lady or to a lady. Now, if she weren't a lady, I'd probably be tempted, but. Uh-oh, drawing another number.
051.
05. Oh, wait, 51. Yay! I wish I was flying because I wouldn't have to drag all this back. Hey, here is a very rare item. Ooh. No, this is NOS Williams Cactus Canyon drop target. Try and find one of these.
34.
That's
me.
Yay! Hey, look at that. He got rid of that box of crap and got something good. And I've got two Fishtails boat ramp flaps, NOS Williams. Yeah, but these like really cool if you want originals for your game. Not the cheap repos of misspelled words and bad artwork and drawing separately. 83. 109. Which one? 83. Yay. 109. Yay. Man cow. Special delivery in the middle. Do we give this away yet?
Got it.
Who won the anniversary shirt? Hey, Marlo. Where'd Man Cow go? Oh, well, let's draw again. Have here a really cool 35th anniversary shirt. Large. Don't throw them in a Spider-Man buckets. It's sacrilege.
5-4.
54. 54. Jeez, I can't be that bad that our crowd's diminishing at this rate. Well, yeah, I suppose I could. But. This is a 35th anniversary Expo shirt printed in advance. 117. Yay, Dan! Yeah, we could get littler people or fatter prizes. Ooh, let's do the Monster Bash tile. This is a Joe Nace. You've got these on Pinball Life, and he's also got them at John Dayhoff's table down.
Really cool.
They look really cool. They're like laser etched tile. Number 87. 87. Yay! Yeah, if you were better getting numbers, we wouldn't have this problem. You'd have won some neat crap by now. You'd be able to go home and tell Mom that I won neat crap at the LTG show. I was awesome, Mom. Let's rip something off. Hey, do the Star Trek one. Do the Star Trek one. Martin Board? Wake up, Martin. Hey! Hey, are we doing breakfast tomorrow or lunch? What did you say? Lunch. Where'd Andrew go? We got to tell Andrew and Rob. Number 79. Him again. Didn't he win before? Somebody married you? What did that cost? Ooh. What else we got in the bag? Oh, we got some Pinball Circus mugs. I found some more mugs. Though we didn't have the official LTG mugs this year or Expo shirts or anything else, but we did find some mugs. Number 49. 49. Yay! What's your name, sir?
Michael.
Michael, congratulations, Michael.
Thank you.
Do we have any other cool questions? Let's do another mug. What? Oh, boy, that's a good one. Pinball Circus, I believe, is April. That's a good one. I put on a website already.
Check the website. It'll be on there.
Yeah, if you go to pinballcircus.com, it's on there. Well, I do the Pinball Circus of spring and fall. The spring one is always the end of... No, the Pinball Circus is the end of March, first part of April, full month ahead of the May Day tournament.
April 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah. Pardon?
April 2nd and 3rd.
Okay. Thanks, Martin. You're the best. I mean, I just did this 2 days ago. You think I'd remember. And then the fall one, I always have a week either side of Expo so the traveling people can hit it. Hey, careful with my balls there. Marlo found my bag of balls, and he's going for them. Now, the next, the Crazy Joe Esposito coming up will be November 11th. That's always the second Thursday of the month. The Turkey Trot, the day after Thanksgiving, I always have a tournament. In the immediate future, I haven't scheduled any pinball picnics because we got football on Sunday, so it's kind of stupid to do anything. The Turkey Trot.
Yeah, what's your point?
Yeah, but see, all the guys are tired and, yeah, all the guys are tired of shopping and everything by noon. They come down and blow money. Oh, another mug.
105.
105. Get a beer while you're up here. Is that the last of our stuff?
No.
No, what? What else we got? Yeah, but that's what I mean. Is that the last?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Let's do another coaster. Ooh, fire. Ooh.
33.
Yeah, this is like the first really great crap we've ever given out at an LTG show. Oh, that box of stuff was awesome. 27. Yay! See, I keep drawing as far away as I can. Marlo needs the exercise after all that lasagna he ate for dinner. Here's the last of our really cool tiles. Iron Man. Stern Iron Man. Ooh. 47. Yay! Now we got this really cool wood stand that holds the tiles. Well, give me a dollar. Dollar. Yep. Hopefully somebody who won a tile wins this. 89. Yay! Be sure and give him his $10.99. Ooh, let's save the balls for last. We got two more mugs. Would you draw two tickets, please? Mix them up. We'll just draw two tickets. How hard is this? It's not rocket science.
90 and 52.
Which number are you, sir? 952. Greg won? Now comes the best things. Matt has got the Back Alley Creations in the hall that way. Well, put them out and see what how many we got and what shape and sizes, because maybe we got to fit them up to something. This is for the Scared Stiff pinball balls, custom made by Back Alley Creations. They're like black and they got like little spider webs and they're really cool.
118.
Uh oh. We forgot a prize over there, guys. Thank you. 19. Yay! Here you go. Here's a bag if you want.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
The first winner gets a bag. Let's do the 8-ball one. That looks like really cool. Looks like an eyeball, and it's got a little 8 iris. Ooh. 23. Yay! This is like cool. This would be like a game.
91.
Yay! Hand them to the lady. Don't throw them. We got the 4 solid black ones. This would be like cool in Twilight Zone or something where you couldn't see them ever. 22.
Yeah.
Yay! Here, put them in a bag. Well, did anybody else come up with any really great questions or anything? I'm set. Oh, Martin. Yes.
What's the best support any manufacturer has given you for tournaments or competitions?
Pinball news.
A manufacturer.
None. I mean, I've even, like when I took the big buck hunter to Midwest Gaming Classic and back, and I was supposed to be given translates for my show there and was stiffed on translates. Actually, my rule of thumb with a manufacturer through the history has usually been, non-help. Now, my sister, when she used to have her anniversary party, Williams used to send her a big box of plastics every year. But I was a nobody. They didn't like me. Nobody likes me. Tato, ice cold beer glass. Oh, wait a second. We got a question. Oh, he wants the glass.
But doesn't the AMA help you at all?
Most of the organizations I haven't belonged to for forever, most of them, the only time they know they're alive is when they get their hand out. And generally, a lot of the organizations have always been about helping the huge operators while the little operators are paying to help the big operators. And I've always been against a lot of these things. Like, there was a time when the biggest distributor, or actually one of the biggest operators in the Midwest, the manager became president of the Music Operators of Minnesota, whatever the hell. And he was set out, he was on a vendetta to get all the bootleg Pac-Man game off the street. We beat the bushes. We hit every basement. We hit every doorway. We found four bootleg Pac-Man games on his route. I mean, the shenanigans that went on, from the upper end on down, like when the city of South St. Paul decided, like now, a lot of communities need money. They look where they can find it. In the early 80s, the city of South St. Paul did a quick walk through it's a small city, did a quick walk through, and they found 180 unlicensed games. They decided they're going to go like $200 a piece on licensing and stuff. And so the Music Operators of Minnesota with the MOA, whatever the hell, everybody dug in, everybody contributed, hired attorneys. They did win. In fact, the licenses went from 45 down to 25 because it can't be a fundraiser for the city. It's got to be what it costs to rule and regulate something. They got the curfew ordinance threw out because it was unenforceable. And then they're going to do a round and, go community to community to community and, do everyone. Because, like, if I were to take Hopkins on, I might win, but they're going to run every building inspector in the world through there and I'll be out of business in a week. But, with an organization doing it, but once they won South St. Paul, that was the biggest operator in the state in the Midwest, then they quit there. We could use their paperwork if we wanted to take a community into work, and that was when I quit. Oh, the ice-cold beer glass. Sorry. 36. 36. When's the ice-cold beer glass? 36. Say, some of this crap, too, you can admit to taking it and just take and trade it or sell it. You don't have to really drag it home. Number 98. Andrews what? Oh, he scared me when he said he had Andrews. Okay. And our last prize. We can answer questions all night.
All the pinball machines have like all these advanced audit features. Do you ever actually use those much at all for a single?
No. I don't have enough to do. I need more. Yeah, this flipper got hit 31,000 times. This flipper got hit 42,380. Who gives a flying fuck? If it's clean, it's happy. If it's working, it's happy. Yeah, how it got there, who cares? No, and once in a while, I get like after an event too, especially usually comes from the hobbyist end of things. What were your total stats for the party? I like when the PARS group started up and they were doing that player against player ranking, and they asked me to go through every tournament I ever held and send them the results of like how many times Paul played Derek, how many times Derek played the Lyman. And I emailed him and told him, I said, if I liked you, I wouldn't even do this, and I don't like you. this is the last of the really cool swirly balls that I believe are for Twilight Zone, but you like need one more or something, and then the Powerball. Number 17. We saved the best for last.
Thank you. Don't need
the bag. We don't have any more bags. Now we got this really cool Weston pen. Any other questions about the industry, my life and coin up? Come on, I can blow you some really cool bullshit, people. Those are cool, aren't they? He makes all the custom powder-coated side rails, lockdown bars, legs, all kinds of neat stuff. He's got like some really cool piercings and stuff too. He looks like a wild man. He's really fun to talk to though. Martin.
Which games have you been a test location for?
I was actually not for the manufacturers, for Lieberman Music Company, but there was from Black Knight till 99 when Williams closed, pretty much tested everything, video games and pinball. I did not test everything, but a lot. And the one thing, though, too, is any game I brought in on test, different locations have different deals with manufacturers or with distributors. Any game coming to my place, I was bought. And, they got an honest assessment if it was good or bad. Bad thing in the test programs, like Williams had 12 games out, and out of the 12 test reports, the distributor would have the top four. Because if you ever asked me, show me the bottom eight, you never see them. Yes, sir.
Do you run jukeboxes?
Nope. Well, according to my lease, I can't have one. We did inherit one at the beginning when an operator was in there, when my mother bought the place. We're the only ones that played it. As a pain in the ass, you throw somebody out, I got a book in a jukebox. I just got a radio for background music. You just need some noise, so if you're empty, people come in, it sounds like there's people there.
I was just wondering how they earn. With the new online, they download all the stuff.
eTunes was hot for a long time. Well, I've been hearing it's kind of tapered off. I don't know if it's the economy or the industry, but... Yes, sir?
On average, what are more arcade games or the pinball games?
Arcade games. There's no way physically possible a pinball machine could haul in like Gauntlet did. You know, and you got the fighting games and stuff where you could just keep dumping in quarters. It's just, I mean, pinball, you know, if you put in a buck and you got a 3-4 minute game, it's like pool. You know, my pool is $6 an hour. I haven't raised rates in 18 years, but, you know, because of the economy, there's just no reason to do it now. And in my area, pool is dying. But, you know, pinball, there's just a set amount, even if you're packed, there's just a set amount of what you can do a day.
Why is pool dying?
I don't know. I think, you know, I might be wrong, and, you know, history will probably tell us a couple hundred years from now, but I think we're changing as a society. You know, people are more content to sit in front of a screen and watch. You know, you look at how many, like in my area, how many bowling alleys have closed, how many are left that have signs up, you know, nights of the week where they got free bowling just to get you in buying food and drinks. You know, from Rogers over to Eau Claire down to Shakopee in my area, in the last 3 years, there's been 15 pool rooms closed. I'm not picking up players. And, you know, same with baseball and softball and stuff, football. There's more people watching it now than playing it. I think we're changing as a society. I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's definitely, you know, we're changing. Well, and everybody, like when I was a kid, it was toys and, dolls and toy trains. You know, the next generation collected what they wanted, the next generation. Like, you know, when the video games and pinball collecting was big, that generation come up during the video fad. You know, the next ones are going to be playing other stuff. Yes, sir.
Is it the DUI laws where they're allowed to play in the pool?
I think it more hit the bars. Well, we got the double whammy in Minnesota in October 1st, 2007. Minnesota enacted the no smoking, too. And I know you get up probably northern two-thirds of the state. You know, you got tough DUI laws. You can't sit and drink all night. And then you got no smoke, and you can't sit and smoke all night. Well, you may as well sit home. But, you know, a lot of people on that, you know, with the DUI laws, you know, a lot of people, they go out in groups and or somebody's wife or somebody's friend. You know, it's so easy to, you know, arrange a cab, arrange a designated driver, do things. Like the no smoking, there's just no way around it. That really put a dent in everybody. And I'm not saying, you know, good or bad. They knew it was hurting people in 1990. If it was that bad, we should have got rid of it then. You know, not when the economy sucks. And then, like in my state, they didn't do it fair across the board. You can go out to casinos and smoke because they're sovereign nation. It's Indian casinos. And, of course, then I wonder this one, too. Minnesota did it to protect employees. I don't have any employees. Well, last time I was out to a casino, they got thousands of employees, minimum wage, no health benefits. So when the smoking out there gets them, we get to pay higher taxes to fix them, too. I want a casino. Either that or Jesus people billiard something. Dale, do you have a question? No other questions? I'm sad. I think our party is coming to an end. Wait. I do want to thank you all for coming, and we came here to have a blast. We're leaving as friends, and I thank you for that. Thank you, folks. Good Lord willing, the creeks don't rise. See you next year. Better crap.